Welcome to the Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone, Minnesota. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne. I'm one of the staff veterinarians here. I'm also one of the owners of Pipestone Holdings, and I have the great pleasure of recording a podcast every month or so, at least no less frequent than every month, where I bring in interesting guests to talk about interesting things. A lot of them come from within our company. Some come from outside the company, but today I have a special guest, Dr. Taylor Spronk, one of our veterinarians here on staff, and she's going to talk to us about some things that she's involved with now, and I'll lay it out there with a couple words and I'll let her take it from there, but she should start by introducing herself. She's going to talk about the public impact of county fairs, fairs that are bigger than county fairs, and biosecurity concerns around that if you're a producer visiting those fairs. So Taylor, tell us about yourself.
Cool. Thanks, Spencer. I'm happy to be on the podcast. Like Spencer said, my name is Taylor Spronk. I am a veterinarian from the Pipestone location. I graduated vet school from the University of Minnesota 3 years ago and have been working as a practicing vet at Pipestone for the last 3 years. Starting in July of this year, I've transitioned into this public outreach port promotion type role, really backfilling Sylvia Walter's work and helping out the marketing team in that sort of park promotion space.
Yeah, I don't want to brush past Sylvia. She's been part of my life ever since I've been here. We should give her some credit. She has been fantastic at just outreach to every avenue and aspect of society for pork production within our company. So,
yeah, what a force of nature. Every single person she's introduced me to says, wow, big shoes to fill. And Yeah, we definitely feel that here at Pipestone and are excited to keep reaching out and making an impact.
Yeah, you've made a shift recently yourself because you were straight out practicing for those 3 years. And then recently said, I want to work more with some research stuff, but also some marketing. And when I heard marketing, I'm thinking, why is she going to get involved in, you know, figuring out market weights and where to send the pigs?
Selling fat hogs.
I didn't realize that you were within our marketing department really for these outreach efforts, not the selling of the pigs. So it took me a while to get my head wrapped around that, but that is a perfect fit for you. You're a young, outgoing person, work well with the public, and this is a perfect topic. So why don't you start where you want to start?
Yeah. So we're really going to talk about kind of two big bucket topics today. The first is just to tell you guys about what we do at the fairs, why we do it, why we think it's important, some of the impact we think we feel. And then really the second part is a call to action to help us at these fairs, volunteer your time, stand by the sow and litter, talk about your farming operation to just regular fairgoers. And how do you do that safely and in a way that you feel is biosecure for your home operation?
Yeah. So let's break down the fairs. I think we're all familiar with county fairs. Those are things, you know, your county seat generally holds the fairgrounds, and you have kids showing lambs and steers and pigs and open class fair items and everything else that's kind of going on. The FFA kids are there. And there's definitely a lot of livestock there, but it's typically, we're all used to that being in the form of show pigs. There's show pigs there with their kids that have those show pigs. You're describing something different a little bit with this sow that's there. And we've done that at, you know, how many fairs there are and where they're located, but why don't you describe what that actually looks like, these special sow in a crate locations.
So in addition to working with the Minnesota State Fair, we work with the South Dakota State Fair, where we bring in one or more sows. They farrow just like in a farrowing crate at the fair where people can watch them and little kids watch them. Like daycare kids love watching the sow farrow. They just think it's the miracle of life is just the most phenomenal thing ever.
So I work with the Minnesota State Fair, not every year, but several years, where you show up at the oink booth and there's people answering questions, but then there's this, is it one or two sows? I think it's been in the past, maybe two, but for sure one sow in a crate with a little bit of walking room around her in that crate and some plexiglass outside of that where people can look in and see the little piglets. They're not being born, but they are a few days old and they're nursing, and it's this routine of the sow laying down nursing her pigs and back and forth and tons of question and answer. That's what you're talking about, is if people have seen that at the oink booth at the Minnesota State Fair, that's what you're describing.
Exactly.
At the county fair level.
And so we're doing this at the county fair level. So we're doing it at two county fairs in Iowa, the Sioux Empire Fair in Sioux Falls, which isn't technically a county fair, but it is a regional fair. Mm-hmm. And then several in Minnesota. So Pipestone, Minnesota, Marshall, Minnesota, Tyler, Minnesota, Laverne, and Slayton, Minnesota. So those would be the five counties kind of surrounding our Pipestone location. Independence, Iowa, and DeWitt, Iowa would be both right around our Independence location. And then, like I said, Sioux Falls, the Minnesota State Fair, and the in Huron, South Dakota, for the South Dakota State Fair.
You said South Dakota State Fair, and I thought you were referring to the Sioux Empire Fair, but you were saying both.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing both Huron and Sioux Falls and St. Paul. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Discovery Barn?
Yeah, so the Discovery Barn is that exhibit at the Sioux Empire Fair. That really has kind of been the brainchild and the baby that spawned all the rest of these fairs and exhibits that were really active in this space. So, like I think I said, this will be the 9th year that we've had the Discovery Barn at the Sioux Empire Fair in Sioux Falls. That has 3,000 litters that fair out. It has a couple of like isoweens that kids get to play with. There are several cows that calve. There's 2 milking demonstrations a day. And then there are laying hens and chicks that hatch every day. So this is a space that Pipestone has really spearheaded, but had a lot of industry support. Like with Dakota Layers, for example, providing all of the hens and a lot of support on the chicken side. It's been great to work with. It's a specific building at the Sioux Empire Fair that we had built and that we're really active with throughout that entire time.
All right, great. So we got a sow there in a crate. Great interaction with community. That sow, tell us where that sow comes from. Sylvia put this together and others, but Sylvia was the main person I remember. Describe that a little bit, what that looks like, where you get the sow, the pigs, the setting.
Yeah, so this year is actually going to be our 9th year at the Sioux Empire Fair in Sioux Falls. The sows come from a system farm, so we're figuring out, you know, being flexible and trying to give fairgoers a really good experience and a really good impression of what pig farming is and, mm-hmm. you know, sows, and we take care of our sows and we take care of our babies, and this is what a farrowing crate looks like.
Yeah.
And let me explain it to you so that you can understand and sort of see where we're coming from.
Yeah. So a healthy sow donated from the farm, shipped up in a trailer with the equipment and everything and her piglets, because she's not farrowing at the state fair or the county fair.
So,
or is
this
she?
A point of clarification. At the Minnesota State Fair, they don't farrow there just because we're 4 hours from home and crazy crowds and a highly challenging environment. They do farrow at all of our other fairs.
Oh, really?
So it's a due to farrow sow, and let's say the fair starts on Wednesday. Our goal is for her to have her babies on Thursday.
Okay.
And we live stream that at the Sioux Empire Fair, so you should follow us on Facebook because that's really cool. Mm-hmm. If you want to show your grandkids or, you know, somebody who runs a daycare and wants to, like, the 4-year-old kids just think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Okay. It's donated from the farm. It's a nice sow. She has nice pigs. Unless some mishap happens, you know, it's going to be a good thing to show the public. And that, I don't know if there's ever been a bad experience. I'm not aware of any.
I do know we're really conscious of that, right? And we're not going to pick a sow that is going to have 16 total born just because there's no cross-fostering, right? Mm-hmm. So we're really picking that P3 sow who's had 12 babies and weaned 12 babies every parity of hers.
Okay. All right. So that's the setting for this, the interaction, just from my own experience. The later on of the day at the state fair, at least, the more alcohol has been consumed into the evening, and you get really, really strange questions. Earlier, there's more kids. Later, there's more adults leaving the beer garden. What kind of interaction do you have at these locations with the sow in the crate and the public coming up? Any examples of interaction or questions that get asked?
Yeah, a lot of how old is the sow? How old are the piglets? How many piglets did she have? How many boys? How many girls? Those would be the most common questions. We also get asked a lot about, who's the runt of the litter, right? Mm-hmm. Because people are familiar with Charlotte's Web and the runt, blah, blah, blah. So that's a great opportunity to talk about cross-fostering and piglet care. And, you know, this is what we do on farms to deal with the small pigs and make sure that, he's healthy. We can take care of him, right?
Yeah.
It's also a great avenue to talk about antibiotic use, sow housing, right? Because often people will see the farrowing crate and assume that it's a gestation crate.
Yeah.
Right. Totally different things, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of misconceptions about that and ways to talk about sow housing and how sows interact with each other. And, you know, people will see the piglets fighting occasionally. And that's a great opportunity to say, you think it's cute when these 2 little 5-pound guys are fighting? Yeah. Imagine if it's 2 400-pound sows, right? It's not quite so cute.
Yeah, it is. It's a good kind of reality check for people. It's the cutest kind of reality check because there's little piglets there and they want to touch that. But they can kind of see something and see it for real. And then they appreciate a little bit why they're in crates. You have that discussion. At least it's an option.
Oh, all the time. Yep. Yeah.
little kids are the best. They want to come and they want to touch it. And I've never had a experience where I got somebody hostile to agriculture. I get people that say, I'm a vegetarian, but then they're pretty interactive and the interaction is always positive. I've never had a bad one. I suppose they are some, but I've never had one.
Yeah, I've definitely had a few bad ones over the years, just volunteering and being really active in this space. But I think that's our opportunity, right? When else do we have a chance to talk to a vegetarian about, hey, why are you a vegetarian? What are your concerns? How do I address your concerns, right?
Yeah.
Because there's lots of good things we do that people just, they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. How could they know?
Yeah. So these county fairs, there's nine of them, or is it nine total? The larger fairs and the county
fairs? Nine total locations.
That we're involved in doing the sow in a farrowing crate. Is that expected to grow? Are we trying to do more? Is there opportunity for doing more? Our group or our group assisting other groups, or what does that look like going forward?
Yeah, I think we're always open to doing more locations. It's there's only so many hours in a day, right? And so at some point, I think we as Pipestone are really thinking through, are fairs the best opportunity to reach out to people, or are there other things that we should be doing? So like other sort of pork promotion, public education type things that we've been doing recently would be like, we helped sponsor a children's exhibit at the Washington Pavilion, which would be like the Children's Museum in Sioux Falls, right? So it's always a question of, does that have more impact, or does having a sow at the South Dakota State Fair have more impact, right?
Right. Okay. How can farmers get involved? We're doing these things and it's a lot of Pipestone staff that are there. You'll be there. I show up and volunteer at different ones, and the farm manager for local sow farms that we manage might show up there. Some employees might, but what about the farmers themselves? Our shareholders for sure, but also just producers out there that are listening in. What's the opportunity for them to participate or help?
Yeah, I would say reach out to us, to Pipestone, however you can. Me, Taylor, or Sylvia would be the contact people. Additionally, there's a sign up, like a volunteer sign up link that's going to go out in our newsletter later this week. So please fill that out. It's just an online form. When are you available to come hang out? If you don't see a day you want, again, just call us. We can be really flexible. Okay. I think having the farmer there means a lot, right? People really get that and they really like to see that interaction with the actual farmer.
Okay. And that the time commitment would be a couple hours. They're going to the
Three
fair
hours,
anyway.
Yeah.
If you're going to the fair anyway, go there and just participate. Then the public can put a face with an identity, like, oh, a pig. Oh, it's Fred, or it's whoever. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
And it's a person I know. Okay. So there's that. And also are these right next to the show pigs? Are they always in a separate location, or it varies?
Totally just depends, right? Everything from like the salmon litter at the oink booth at the Minnesota State Fair, where she is in the building with the show pigs, to like the Sioux Empire Fair in Sioux Falls, where it's a completely separate building. You could just go to our Discovery Barn there and never see a show pig. Of course, all county fairs, all fair exhibits, anywhere that there's show pigs or multiple sources of pigs has risk.
Yeah.
And I think as veterinarians, we're super aware of that risk and we want our producers to be aware of that risk, but there are definitely things you can do to fix it. Yeah. And I don't think that should keep you from going to your fair, even just to walk through the pig barn and check it out, or volunteer with the salmon litter.
Great segue into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is how to be careful. And I know when you or I would go to a sow farm, we're talking to our sow farm staff. They're keyed up on biosecurity all the time anyway. And there's every farm this time of year, or a month ago this time of year, we would have discussions about, hey, if you go to the county fair, here's how you be careful. Because the last thing we want to do is to drag something in from a show pig that you have on your physical person, your shoes, your hands, or clothes, and then bring that into a sow farm. Finishing pigs and nursery pigs are probably less of a huge impact, but there would be an impact there. So what should a person do when they go to the county fair for being careful?
Yeah. So my recommendations would be shower before you shower after you get out of your pigs, before you go to the fair, and when you get home, change clothes. So wear a completely different set of clothes that doesn't usually go into your barn. Wear a different pair of shoes that doesn't go into your barn. Take a different vehicle if at all possible. If not possible, just, run through the car wash on the way home, or think through it like that. Wash your floor mats if at all possible. And then for our sow farms, we require, like Spencer said, that they have two nights down. So if you go to the fair on Friday, you cannot go back into your sow barn until Sunday.
Is it to even go to the fair, or is it to go to the fair? And if you go there, if you go through the midway, you're okay. Or is it to go to the fair and just the fair in general?
I guess my understanding is just to go to the fair. The finer details of that, we can maybe argue with Adam. Yeah, but
because I've probably given a slightly different message. But for sure, if you, for any employee going to a sow farm, you'd say, hey, don't go to the livestock barns. If you do, you need two nights down. I mean, there's the traffic zone in there, obviously crisscrosses with the Midway and the and all the 4-H buildings for the open class exhibits and everything
and
else.
The rodeo and the, you know, tractor pull and all of that good stuff. Yeah. And so I know two nights down, if you're just the average guy doing chores in a wean to finish barn, you're like, that's cute, Taylor and Spencer, right?
Yeah, you're not gonna have that.
I don't get two nights out, but try for one night, right? Mm-hmm. If you go to the fair from noon to five on Friday, don't go into your pigs until Saturday morning, right?
Yeah. So when I was much younger, I was doing some graduate work a long time ago. We looked at PERS antibodies before the fair and then PERS antibodies in the same pigs after the fair. And it wasn't 100%, but there was definitely a trend that pigs would go to the county fair negative and they would leave and come back 2 weeks later were positive for PERS. So there's for sure transmission. And just talking to kids with 4-H pigs that after the fair, they bring them home and like, my pig is sick. You know, what's going on? Well, who knows what it was most of the time, but you're mixing animals around in there. They're going to get exposed to new things. And your pigs in a wean to finish barn would be the same thing if you're careful.
I would say flu. I know like Ohio State has done some really fascinating work with flu in show pigs. So I would definitely assume that flu is also at the fair. Mm-hmm. But, you know, show pigs aren't going to bring a pig that's dying and raging sick to the fair, right? Show kids and they want to do a good job with their pigs. And as a person who showed pigs, I think it's really important to walk through your pig barn and have interactions with those kids, right? Because I didn't grow up on a commercial farm. I grew up showing pigs and now here I am a vet for Pipestone. So it's important to have those interactions, I think.
Yeah. You assume they're the same and all the same community. They're actually different. Show pig kids often don't have a lot of great exposure. So it's a good chance for education. Okay, good. So we covered biosecurity. You said, if you go there, watch your traffic zones. If you're at all concerned, for sure, be spraying your floor mats down with disinfectant, washing them, different shoes, different clothes, wash your vehicle or take a different vehicle before you go back into your pigs. And if at all possible, don't go the same day, go back into your pigs the next day, if you can plan that around that.
Exactly.
Okay, so biosecurity. We talked about the public impact. Oh, one thing. The sows that you're talking about that go to be in these farrowing crates for the public interaction, they're always from clean, healthy sow farms. So that should contrast that with the unknown health status of a lot of the show pigs. These are healthy sows. Didn't want to intimate that somehow these were not healthy sows that were in those. These are very clean sows that are coming to the fair.
And the show pigs in general are healthy too. It's just a big question mark.
Yeah, unknown, right? Unknown. Okay. Taylor, have we covered it all? Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
The last thing I would say to any farmers listening that have volunteered with us in the past is just thank you for volunteering and thank you for supporting Pipestone and this public outreach effort. We spend a lot of time doing it because we think it's really important on your behalf. So thank you to anybody who's volunteered in the past. Thank you to our future volunteers who might come this year or in the years to come, and just keep having those good interactions with consumers.
Okay. Thank you, Taylor. Really appreciate being here. Thank you to our listeners for listening in now for the Swine Time podcast here at Pipestone, and invite you to join us again for the next episode.
Swine Time podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by me, Dr. Spencer Wayne, with the Pipestone Veterinary Services. The podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.